The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, tonight we got them. Goldie the Sulk and JC.
And it starts right now.
Oh, welcome back to another episode of A Typical Disgusting Display, a podcast for writers by writers who hate writing.
I'm going to just jump in. If there has to be a huge earthquake, I don't want one, but if there has to be one, could it just be right now?
Why, you don't want to do Johnny's?
First joke of the day. No, it's fine. I'm fine if there's not one. But if there has to be one,
why right now?
This would be the perfect time.
Yeah, we get out of something.
Right. Because to me, it's like I always feel like when I board a plane, I don't want it to crash. But if it has to crash, just let it crash on takeoff.
Yes. Oh, my God.
The crashing on landing
is the worst.
I took a 14-hour flight. Crash.
Yeah.
Well, why did I have to do the flight? Can't we just crash?
I know. Yes, I totally agree. Yes. Crash me on takeoff. 100% with you there.
Yes.
JC,
if you're going to murder me, don't do this. Don't torture me.
Yeah.
If you're going to interrogate me, I'll just tell you and then just kill me.
Yes.
Don't think you're going to get more by like pulling my nails out and shit. I'll just fucking tell you.
No, Goldie, you got to keep my secret, buddy. You got to keep my secret.
Oh.
It's not that good.
JC, why were you panicking?
I heard an echo. You know, if it's anything audio related,
do I have the echo? Is it on me?
I don't know. All I know is I'd started my first sentence and I see JC looking around, panicking. Great environment.
Now that I've hijacked the podcast,
I now get
off the plane with my briefcase full of money and leave the podcast back to you.
Oh, nice.
You DB Coopered us.
Oh, yeah,
you
nice
just jumped out
back.
The back. Is it BD? Is it DB or BD?
It is D as in David, B as in boy. This is because I have a DB in my last name, so I this is a large part of my existence. The gold blat going. L is in Larry, D is in David, B is in boy.
I know. Well, it sucks for me too because my last name Sulkin. People, when they hear it quickly, they think it's Falcon. So I have to, you know, I have to say S is in Sam, and then I get to the N, which is also tricky for people, and I somehow cannot get out of the trap of saying N is in Nancy. It just makes me feel
that's a bad one.
It just makes me feel like what should I say? N is in Nathan. If that seems even more lame.
N is in.
Never Nobody. Again.
Not ready for prime time.
That's better.
That's
N as in nobody.
No.
That would be good.
N as in nuclear war.
Yes.
No.
But I mean, you also probably have a bane of your existence is Alec.
That's probably worse.
Yes. Well, the thing is, I don't get as pissed off about it as some of my friends do. My friend John Fogarty. That used to be his thing. He used to just sit on the wall at Guantanamo and pick people off who called me Alex.
What?
He'd go, it's Alec, okay?
Well, my mom has never absorbed the fact that your name is Alec in the 25 years I've known. How's Alex? How's Alex? And it's like, I've explained to her a billion times it's Alec. But then just, this was unbelievable. So when my first kid was born, there was another kid born right around the same time. We became friendly with the parents, and it was Alex and Rich. The woman was Alex. Okay. The man was Rich.
Yeah.
Alex and Rich. So my mom goes, so her name is Rich? And I go, no.
How do you lose that coin flip?
No. And then she says, so her name is Alec? And I go, wait, do you know the name Alec? Now you know the name Alec. And you think it's a woman. But the person who's been named Alec for 25 years that you're known to this point, you think is that like, were you trying to drive me insane?
Oh my God. Another thing I've noticed is this case with the redheaded lawyer in South Carolina, Alex Murdaugh. Just got convicted for killing his wife and son. Very funny story. But everybody calls him Alec.
Well,
it's
weird.
Really annoying. And the reporters are like, Alec Murdaugh. And I'm like, why do I get lumped in with this?
Well, first, if your name is that close to the crime you committed,
I know.
Then you're so screwed to begin with. It's like, I'm Don Bembezzlement. Well, it's going to be hard for you to avoid conviction.
He's got That's convicted amazing. Of first degree Murdaugh. Yeah, that guy.
Oh, there he is, the Murdaugh.
Oh my God.
There he is.
What an embarrassment.
I don't find that case as interesting as everyone. Like, everyone's losing their shit and following it. It's like, what is there to follow? The guy killed his family. It's so clearly, but why does anyone care?
I'll tell you why. And I've watched everything about it. Dateline, there's a documentary on Netflix. There's one on HBO Max. I think the HBO Max one is actually the best. But what's really interesting about the case to me is not just the fact that he killed his wife and son, but the events leading up to it. It's fascinating. Like, his son, who he killed, was a fucking asshole. Oh. And if you like, it's
how old was his son?
His son was like 22 or something when he killed him. But just a couple years before, what started all of this in motion was this asshole son went out, got hammered in the middle of the night, was recklessly boating his friends around. They crashed into a bridge. One of the friends died, just never came up out of the water.
Oh, no.
And then there was this whole thing to like protect the son and frame somebody else and like get everyone away from the kid. But the kid was a huge asshole. So that makes it much more interesting to me that it all happened.
Yeah.
Are 70% of the employment opportunities in the South framing other people for crimes?
Yeah, it seems like it. Biden has done that for America, by the way. We have more than ever the opportunities to frame a redhead with murder are huge.
Murder.
Whose house is that? Is that your place, Colvin? Okay, what's going on there?
Yeah. Well, you know, the second we start the podcast, it's a signal to everyone on my street to begin destroying concrete and blowing leaves at the same time. Digging up sewer lines, repairing the infrastructure.
Biden again.
We're doing a cosmetic buff. Quiet all week.
Unblocking culverts one at a time right under Goldie's house.
I got to say, it's you know what? It's good to talk to you because I feel like, listen, the guests that we've had have been fine.
More than
they've
fine.
Been
lovely.
Fine.
Lovely.
Whoa.
Now, I know you're going to go, they've been great. They've been fine. Okay? They've been fine.
Oh, my God.
But, like, did we start a podcast to listen or to talk? I don't know about you, but I wanted to just fucking babble away about all the shit going on in my life. I didn't want to sit and hear about other people's success.
Matt Rice, this sounds like a shot at you. I apologize.
No, he's get it. Listening. Everyone's been more successful. Everything's going great for everyone. Everyone has good opportunities that they worked hard for, and it worked out for them. I'm so happy.
There's no danger of Matt Rice listening to this
anymore.
Now that he's off the show. Yeah, never. And I love I think we asked him on air.
He was very good.
He was awesome, by the way. But I mean, I loved asking him on air. I'm like, okay, now can you, like, let's help this podcast. He's like, how? I'm like, you're my agent. Like, what do you mean, how? You have a whole podcast department over there at UTA. He's like, I don't know what to do. It's forget it. It's hopeless.
Yeah.
I had something a little controversial to talk about up till today, and I'll get us all in the soup. Okay. So I went with our buddy Craig Kilborn to a Lakers game last week. Very fun night. He kept talking about how he only has two drinks, and then he proceeded to have like 4.5. So it was a very fun night with him. I sat courtside, which is unbelievable.
Yeah,
feet on the court. It was really cool. But something I noticed, and Goldie, you and I have been going to Lakers Clippers games for, 20 plus years now. And you always notice from the stands, like, okay, the Laker girls are hot. The Clipper girls are hot. There are a lot of just walking around the court. It's just like, it's LA. It's like there's this whole scene of people that are peacocking and want to be seen, and they're on display and they're walking around.
And then I noticed old decrepit Jews staring at them.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Please,
and now I'm one of them. And right. So not just the guy in the full snake suit and the hat. The
I hate him. Yeah, I hate him.
He hated us, but we hated him more. Yes. And we hated him first. Thank you, Brody Stevens. But I noticed at the Laker game the other day, this is just, it's no longer the case. Okay, I'm way older than the Laker girls now, so I look at them and they seem like kids to me. So that's out.
That's good.
And then the people sort of preening around the court, it was really just like, it had a vibe of like backstage at a really bad concert. Mm. And it was like, ooh, this is not where I want to be. And I had a theory. I think 20 years ago, LA was a place where the hottest women, men from around the country, around the world, would get on a plane, a train, a bus to come out here and try and make their dreams come true. Now, we live in this world where if you're super hot, you can sit in your basement and have 200,000 TikTok followers and, shake your body, and you don't need to come out here. So I am putting forth this theory that less hot people are coming to LA, and it's not the way that it used to be now. Thoughts.
I don't find that so controversial.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I would love to, just scream and disagree with you about anything, obviously.
Of course.
But I totally see that. I just think, and this is such an old guy sentiment, but it's just everything's worse.
Yeah.
Everything's worse than
true.
It was. I
Music,
mean, everything
movies,
means
TV.
Less.
Yep.
Everyone is just staring at a tiny screen. It's very, very boring.
Yeah.
To be at most places with most people and to watch people just hold up their phone and video stuff.
Everything.
That they're not going to watch later. Just to show that they're recording it. It's like, just remember it.
I know. It's like LeBron, when LeBron broke the scoring record, it was a sea of hands with the phones up. Yeah.
And so I don't know. I agree with you in that, to go to an event, there used to be more sense of anticipation. Now you're just, maybe you're one of the idiots, as I am sometimes to my own dismay. You're just sitting, holding a phone, looking at people with a phone, watching performers who are telling you to scan a barcode. And it's like, none of this is interesting. This actually goes into something I wanted to bring up. Full disclosure, I didn't see the Chris Rock special yet.
Oh.
Yes, same.
Oh. But I hear there's like a big thing about cancel culture. And I've kind of touched on this before.
Yep.
That this is a bogeyman. It's not a real thing. It doesn't exist. It only exists if you're fucking glued to Twitter and you're living your whole life in a it's like religion. If you don't have a Bible and you don't go to church, you wouldn't discover it.
No.
Like, here's what happened. Maybe six people have been canceled. And three were rapists.
Okay. Right.
And the other three said horrible shit. And that's all that's happened. Like, we've just decided the workplace was really bad, which it was.
Yeah.
And we've made corrections. Now, maybe in making those corrections, we've over-calibrated temporarily for like a year to make up for the like 200 years of shit that were going on. But you only know about like this culture and whatever if you're watching Fox News or you're on your phone listening to people bitch about it. If you're just living your life, no one's canceling you. No one's telling you not to say stuff. You may use your own judgment and go, hey, this feels a little inappropriate, as I do to you all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to come do this to you in a hushed whisper later when we're alone.
Yes.
And we'll share the sort of taboo nature of it. And it makes it, honestly, a little more fun.
I would think, but yeah, I agree.
I just don't believe this is a real problem for most people. And it's absorbing so much airspace and mind space. And I'm so tired of hearing it.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. And also, it's a dream come true for both political sides, because everyone is so distracted by this issue. Like, what is DeSantis doing now about this? And he said woke and cancel. And what is, you know, what is the left doing? And they're doing this. And everybody's so engaged with that we don't watch, you know, the sort of billionaire class walking out the door with their giant gunny sacks full of our money.
Well, it's P.T. Barnum. It's like they're making money off the ride.
Yeah.
The ride to the poor attraction is the chatter about this nonsense. That's the ride. And that, like, they're just making nickels left and right.
Yep.
As we spin in circles about this sophistry.
Yes. Ooh, good word.
I have to look
good
that
word.
One up.
Good word. I threw a flag on bogeyman, because let's say boogeyman, because that's what people say. No. Is that a word you've only read?
Listen, I was talking about myself on the golf course.
There you go. Turned it into a joke.
The bogeyman.
That's one under for that joke. now, but you should watch the Chris Rock thing. I watched it. And I will say, it started off a little rough for me. Then he really got into a great Chris Rock zone when he was talking about like the Kardashians. He was just dunking all over them and it was hilarious. And then when he got to the Will Smith stuff, I was a little disappointed again. And I got the impression that he's never spoken about it on stage, so he hasn't, quote unquote, worked it out as a comedian.
Yeah, because the second he did, it would get out. And then
he would lose all that money.
Right.
Right. So he did it for the first time, and I'm not sure that he did it the right way. Like, I you know, listen, it's totally up to him. He's on the Mount Rushmore of comedians, so he can do, you know, anything he wants. But I feel that he could have gone a little deeper with it, and he just kind of did this surface attack that was a little less nuanced than I would have hoped for. But that said, it was really incredible and fun to watch. And,
do you think he intended to be very surface so that it just wouldn't just take it any further? Or,
well, no, because in a way he took it further because his surface attack was so aggressive on the surface that now it's actually created a lot of support for Will Smith, if you can believe it.
Like, people are
you know, kind of like, leave him alone, leave Britney alone, and it, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he didn't quite do it the right way, in my estimation. Anyway, I'll leave
Will Smith is going to come back with, like, a long beard. Then, you know, with some gray hair.
Totally.
And some kind of, like, weird shirt.
Yeah.
And people are going to be like,
weird.
Will Smith has learned.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you know, like, he'll be wearing like slightly strange stuff, dressed sort of like a Deepak Chopra or something, right. Loose flowing clothes and sandals.
Oh, Morgan Freeman.
And he'll be doing a lot of like hand around the mouth gestures and chin and neck rubbing and ruminating. There might be a pair of glasses like I would wear.
Yes.
Ooh.
And your glasses are
and just larger points about the culture, and he'll emerge as better off than before he smacked Chris Rock. It's unreal.
It's unreal. And he will, because people
I'm
want
be
to
the
like
first
Will
out
Smith.
There with this prediction. we might be hearing in a year, 18 months, about William Smith.
Oh, wow.
Love that call.
Yeah, that's a good one.
William
Rebranding.
Smith.
Yeah, Rebranding. Or like J. William Smith. Something.
I love it. I love that call.
It'll be about, like, he'll be lecturing us about the coarsening of culture.
Yep.
And how we all need to less knee-jerk react.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yes.
And sort of take a holistic view of everything. Yeah. I can't wait to collect on
I love the gray hair, gray beard call, because there's
and
no
glasses.
Boy in the glasses. That what an arrow in the getting older black guy quiver, because you have Morgan Freeman, who's laid this template of, like, Morgan Freeman can do no wrong. He had some ridiculous story about him. Everybody still loves him.
Wow.
Nobody even thinks about that at all. They just, like, oh my God, his voice. And there he is. Oh, I'm so excited. How wise. And I think William Smith is going to fall into that category.
Yeah. Well, it does bridge nicely into our topic for today, which, yeah, if you want to introduce that, just tease it.
Let's tease it a little bit. Well, Goldie had proposed to me over the week with several.
Did you say yes?
Yeah, I said yes. And he's now Mrs. Alex Sulkin. Really fun thought of, like, how can we fix the Oscars? And I will say, and you'll hear when we get into the segment, that Goldie has 95% of these suggestions and they're great. So cool. we're gonna be talking about that after our self-torture. And we'll just confess right now, if we don't have to do these jokes, let's get in to Johnny Jokes.
Whoa, from Hollywood. Johnny.
Oh, very good. Nice.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Oh boy, I have a few today, and I'm gonna burn through them because we're we're desperate for hashtag content. Okay, maybe you heard about this. Tesla is planning to open their next factory in Mexico. Yeah. Elon Musk raised some eyebrows when he assured shareholders that the new cars will be self-kidnapping.
Oh.
Self-kidnapping. The future of automotive vehicles. All right, here comes another terrible one with a pun. Japan, maybe you've heard of them. Japan recently discovered 7,000 new islands within their jurisdiction. Yeah. A spokesman for the government said finding an island is satisfying, but it takes a toll.
Oh,
like it.
Oh, very nice. Boy. I got a little nervous.
Maybe you've heard of them.
Maybe you've heard of them. Here comes another pun. Several performers, including Harry Styles, Adele, and Ed Sheeran, have declined an invitation from King Charles to perform at his coronation. Yeah. And other English performers are saying this is treason. In fact, Adamant was Adamant.
Oh.
On his atoll.
On his atoll.
These jokes
atoll.
Are taking a toll on me.
Yes. I want to be on my own private Japanese island.
Listen okay. here, you fucking atoll.
Love it. Riff. Here are my favorite group of people. Who are they? Scientists. Scientists have discovered a clam off the coast of Florida.
This joke
Within this joke. Let me start that again.
I know, I apologize.
No, that's okay. I love it. I love any interaction. It's all good. Scientists, my favorite, have discovered a clam off the coast of Florida that was born the same year as Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Experts believe the clam's impressive lifespan is due to warm waters, plenty of sunlight, and the fact that it hates plays.
Oh,
didn't go to a play and get shot.
Lincoln
was
Oh, I'm sorry.
There we go. I got to. Oh, the best jokes are the ones.
You welcome interruptions.
I welcome interactions. Interactions.
False.
False. All right. And finally, mercifully, the train company Norfolk Southern had another derailment in Ohio just weeks after their toxic crash in East Palestine. A spokesman for the company confronted the angry press, saying, "You think it's so easy? You can Norfolk yourself."
Oh. I like
you're
it.
Very punchy this week.
That was Johnny too. Thank you, sir.
A pun riddled journey through the mind of Alex Olkin. Well, we talked about it earlier. Alex Murdaug, the Murdaug. was sentenced to life in prison this week after being convicted of killing his wife and son. Murdaugh says he plans to appeal the verdict, win his freedom, and kill the rest of his family. All right. Well, a hedge fund manager in New York City is suing his therapist after she had sex with him during every appointment for 10 years.
Wow.
And legal experts are all asking the same question. Is she taking new patients? And some sad news here. Saving Private Ryan actor Tom Sizemore died this week at age 61.
He gone!
He leaves behind drugs.
Oh!
He does.
And I don't know if you heard about this, but a thin comedian, Pete Davidson, veered wildly off the road and crashed his car, putting a hole in the side of a house.
Wow.
Ooh.
And then I don't even want to tell you what he did to that hole.
Great.
And finally, finally, a Sacramento dildo saleswoman.
Good segue.
Is suspected of being the mastermind behind an anti-Semitic neo-Nazi group.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Investigators first became suspicious when all her dildos had foreskins.
Oh, those are great.
Oh, just wonderful. Just wonderful.
Why, thank you, sir.
The power of jokes. What did Pete Davidson do to that hole in the house?
I don't even want to tell you.
I can't tell you. Not on
so
not
believable on, that he just drove a hole into a house and then just started fucking the hole in the house.
Oh, that's what
like you
meant.
Can picture him doing it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Just holding the house by its sides. Oh, they love that Pete Davidson. All right, well, before I forget, let's tease our guest for next week, where we have the lovely and talented writer. Let's say talented and lovely. This is 2023. Yeah. Let's put talented first. Vanessa Ramos will be with us. She created Blockbuster. She's worked on many shows, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Superstore. We're going to get her fractured.
The roasts.
Take.
The
she's roast.
A big writer for the roast.
That's so how she. That's how she
might
started.
Skewer us.
Oh no!
So.
Don't prep any jokes about us. Oh God, that'd be the worst. We're excited to have her and talk to her next week. But this
very
week
sweet.
You're stuck talking to us. And now we're going to talk about how to fix the Oscars.
All right.
Because I think we all agreed, and Goldie, I'm sure you have a thesis statement. We all agreed the most interesting thing ever to happen at the Oscars was.
Well, no, we all agree, not the most interesting to happen at the Oscars. The only interesting thing to ever happen at the Oscars was Chris Rock getting slapped in the face.
Very interesting. Yes.
That was like the first time ever. Like we've been tuning in for years, waiting for anything to happen. And finally,
can
after
I give,
what, 50, 80, I don't know how
90,
many years.
90 plus.
Yes, we were finally rewarded with a moment. And so this is something like everyone knows the Oscars are terrible. The Oscars are banquet chicken.
Can I wedge in here for a second?
Yes.
I just want to give a couple of honorable mentions for interesting things that have happened at the Oscars. Warren
Go
Beatty
ahead.
Mis-announcing the Best Picture winner
was
interesting. John Travolta completely mangling Idina Menzel's name. And you remember how he led into it? He said, the wickedly talented.
Right.
And I forget what he said, like Adele Dazeem.
Wickedly talented.
And then there was the naked streaker from the 70s. But that's it.
Okay. So, yes, there's the larger point of the only times the Oscars have been good are when they've been derailed.
Yes.
And it's not the Oscars.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Where it's become something else, where it's a disaster. That's the only time anyone's ever enjoyed the Oscars. Because to get back to the banquet chicken point, it's like it's a thing that's always done, that they always have this chicken. No one likes the chicken. Everyone knows it's bad. There's no innovation in the chicken. But for some reason, we have to have the chicken.
Right.
For some reason, like this is always presented to us as the majesty of film. Film has no majesty.
Whoa.
They weaved a tapestry. Tapestries are boring. No one's like, ooh, cool tapestries. Let me look at them in wonder and awe. No one cares about tapestries, and yet tapestries are constantly being held up as a woven tapestry. The majesty. There's no majesty in sitting on your ass in a theater for 2 hours while people grossly masticate snacks they don't deserve all around you and check their phones and like silently fart and, you know, talk to each other and whisper so you're like, shh, and like don't know how to behave. And of course, you're sitting behind the one person you've ever seen with some deformed giant head.
I got arrested for masticating in a theater.
So yeah. So there's this experience is just a break from life.
Yeah.
And these movies are just because you've raised the white flag to life and said, I've had enough. I can't do it. Let me sit here. You take over.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's all this is.
Let me just say, we're recording this the Tuesday before the Oscars, but you'll be listening to this theoretically the day after or a couple days after the Oscars. So, you know, we don't know what happened or who won or if there was anything interesting. I've been desperately trying to watch all the movies beforehand, but I'm predicting.
How's that been going?
Actually, I really, here it is briefly. Loved Banshees of Inisherin.
The title itself,
Banshees
is impenetrable.
Well, that's true. You, Goldie, you would enjoy that movie. Trust me, it's a very new movie.
Can it just be called Rivals?
Sure, that'd be easier to digest.
Yes,
Irish guys.
You just like look at that title and you go, I can't sign up for this right now.
They're not saying the title during the movie. Nobody says that.
I understand, but like this is part of the problem. Is like I can't even begin to begin.
Yep.
Because it's already being held up of like, well, you don't know what Inisherin is. It's like, okay, fine, I don't. But like, I'm not going to go out and get a sitter and have dinner and spend $250.
You can watch it at home.
Sure.
That's where I watched it.
By the time I go to bed every night, I'm so dead.
I
can watch is that stupid Special Forces show with make Dwight Howard try to join the Special Forces. By the way, I just a spoiler alert on that show, which will tell you the whole show.
Spoiler alert.
Just because I watched the finale last night. The show ends with Dwight Howard being captured, put in a hole underground in the desert with sand being scooped on him and him saying, I'm ready to die now to his captors.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yes. Wow. I have to watch that show. You've been teasing that show for a while. I definitely have to watch that. But
Banshees, so talk about the movies.
Banshees was great.
Yes, okay.
All Quiet on the Western Front was so fucking good. It's unbelievable. It should, in any like previous decade, it's a hands down best picture winner. I don't think it will win this year. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once will win. I feel, and full disclosure, I have not seen that.
Why not?
But I feel like that's the
Did
movie.
You just say why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. You're watching all the other ones. Why not?
JC, you know I avoid Asian people.
Yeah.
You were trying to get me to say
it.
Yeah. No, I honestly, it was on like a streaming service for a while and now it's off. And so I have to pay to rent it. So I just haven't done it yet. Gotcha. So I'm watching like the freebies first.
Gotcha.
All Quiet on the Western Front. Unbelievably great. You should totally watch it. Tar.
Oh.
She will win Best Actress.
Okay.
She was phenomenal. I could have watched a further hour of that movie. It was endlessly fascinating.
Cool.
Incredibly interesting character study.
Did you have a stressful day or are you worried about your kids? Are you beset by a million problems? Now come watch an angry conductor.
I know. And our feelings on conductors have been well documented on this podcast.
Right,
they're bullshit. They get a lot of credit for basically pressing play on a CD
that's
player.
So funny.
Nice stick.
Yeah, nice stick. Way to wave it.
In the movie, does she have like when people own their own pool cue at just a tiny hard case with
a
stick?
but honestly, it's great. She's an amazing actress.
What's the stick made of? Do they say in the movie?
They don't say. They don't get into a lot of stick. There's not a lot of stick talk.
Does she choose her stick like Harry Potter's wand?
It's not about the stick. Let's get off the stick.
The whole thing, if I wrote this, would be
about the stick.
There'd be a full hour of stick.
Stick choosing, stick crafting.
People going, like, taking her stick, breaking her stick, the Wonder Boy stick
stealing
from the tree that
stick.
Got hit by lightning.
Yes.
Losing her stick, regaining her stick.
Stick.
It was never about the stick. It was about you all along in the final scene.
Oh, it's big on stick talk. I haven't seen much else.
Okay.
I want to see Everything Everywhere All at Once, though, because I feel like that's going to be another major...
Why don't you try seeing one thing, one place?
All right. Enough of you. All right. But okay. So, but we don't know who won, but we can presume, and we're probably right, that it was boring. That it ran over time, that the whole thing was boring, and that we didn't really care about anything. So, Goldie, let's start talking about ways that we can make the Oscars better.
So just a couple things up top. Like, again, we said the only time it's worked are when the Oscars are not the Oscars. So here's something you could only do once. You have to throw the ceremony into chaos.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the only thing that works.
Okay.
Lights come up. You see the crowd. The host comes out. Someone taps him on the shoulder. Maybe Jeff Probst, someone we know in this capacity, and reveals that these are not the real nominees tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, I love that.
They were never the real nominees. And then you go to a second location where they have the real nominees.
On an island?
So all the films that people have been watching and talking about were not the ones.
I like that.
Yes.
That's just a huge rug pull right from the start.
Right.
Yes.
Right
so
from the start.
You're watching now.
It's interesting.
Yes.
It's
And you have to see their disappointment. They're confused. First of all, their confusion. I mean, the great thing about the slap, like, obviously it's horrible that someone was humiliated and slapped and the violence, whatever. But I think what made it so fascinating was it was unscripted and the non-reaction, the desire for them to maintain normalcy.
Yes.
And the denial of what was happening directly in front of them and what had happened.
Oh. Yeah.
And the fact that these are supposedly actors who can inhabit these personalities and depth situations. And that all they could do was sit there and pretend it wasn't happening because everything wasn't choreographed for them. That was so revealing.
Yeah. And wasn't this a year where they didn't have a host? Is that?
Yeah. They had three hosts. I mean,
So it's like there wasn't someone to come out and try to at least get a hold of the situation. It was just everyone was like, what? Yeah.
But so a corollary of that is you just bring Will Smith out to smack someone again every year.
Or Chris Rock, maybe.
That'd be great.
You know, no one knows who or when it'll be. And it's like he could come from anywhere. He could descend from the ceiling.
Yeah.
He could come out from under a seat. You know, maybe he's playing the cello in some sort of prosthetic makeup and he comes and he beats him with a cello stick. You know, any chaos.
Yeah, love that.
So that's
love
my first.
That.
So
yeah, that's a good.
Another
one.
Suggestion.
Yeah,
we like the in memoriam.
Love it.
That's one of the few things that works in the whole
yes,
ceremony.
Totally.
They're like, I will remember you. You will remember me. Or time of your life, whatever. Like, these are, it's the best moment of the whole thing. But, like, nothing good comes without a price. And there's always, before it begins, they have to scold you. Please hold your applause.
Yeah.
Like, don't. Don't have anything spontaneous happen.
Don't feel anything.
So right. Look, they go, applaud as much as you want for whoever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They allow it's it. Like and then they measure the applause.
Yes.
And the, if applause you're above a certain category, you move on to the next year.
Yeah.
And get, oh. So, and this becomes a decade-long contest of who is the most missed.
Betty White. Betty White would last
and then,
forever.
And then... we bring that person back to life.
Oh, yes, we can. I mean, they're bringing woolly mammoths back,
yes.
Right? I read
yes.
that, so we can do
yes.
this.
So that becomes the first person we attempt to bring back to life, whoever
Betty White.
Wins that decade.
Betty White. Oh. I love that. And
to
also,
be revealed on the Oscars, they bring them back to life, they stumble out, and then Will Smith slaps the shit out of them. He kills
Great
them end. Because they're a monster.
Right, and then it's okay. And then
yes,
it's like, it's,
because
I, am,
it's, like
it's I Am Legend.
Horrible zombie. And he, yeah. and he beats them to death.
Yeah, and he's done that on film for us. And I love the idea of having, like, best dead person.
Right.
Seems like a really good. Also, just to, on that point, why not, because you pointed out, it's always the, you know, that Sarah McLachlan kind of song. Why isn't it, you know, in memoriam, oh, Black Betty, bam, lamb, oh, Black Betty, bam, lamb, Black
oh
Betty. Had
to, like, that,
well,
like, push it up.
So not only, I think, is that aesthetically a good choice, but it's a way of integrating problematic people into the in memoriam. Like, you go, yeah. they're gone, but we're kind of glad. So, like, let's pick up the pace. And it's like,
yeah.
okay, they did work in film, but they sucked. So, you know, enjoy their death. Because
yes.
not every death is a tragedy.
No.
Yeah.
True.
That's true.
I love futzing with the in memoriam, and especially the carrying over to next year.
Ooh, yes.
with a certain level
like
of applause is great.
Yes.
I love that. And of course, if we can bring it back to life, sure.
So
why
okay.
not?
So, you know, a lot of these ideas are categories and stuff. I'll try to bunch those all yeah. into one.
Sure.
But here's another, like, big conceptual idea. And the NFL has done this with Monday Night Football. They have the Mannings do a separate broadcast, and it's kitschier
yep.
and more fun. They have Nickelodeon do one for kids. Do an alternative broadcast with comics.
Ooh.
Commenting on it the whole time.
Yes.
Because
they do
great.
That with the red carpet, right? So you could
do they?
It. Well, yeah. It's like on E. They have
right.
a, they have
They have the people. Snarky
yeah.
cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, but the actual
I don't
event,
like the way they do that
right,
because
they're
it's
mean.
It's like those people are trying to be like more just how the voice of the person at home watching
Ooh,
and less
yes.
like you know
like
we're gonna
judgy.
You know less like we're trying to be Joan Rivers but now
right. Yes, I agree with I like that idea.
Yeah,
I would
but
watch that.
You could and you could do different shades of this. Like you go. I want to watch, you know, a female perspective, a male perspective. Like, you could
Ooh,
do it by different groups,
yeah.
ages, whatever. Yeah, I want
awesome.
To see what people who are positive are saying.
I
but
love
like,
this idea.
Give a spectrum of ways to watch this thing so you can flip around. Because one of the joys of TV that's been lost is just the flipping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's gone. And also, this taps into something that I love, which are reaction videos. And
oh,
that's
yeah.
basically what you're proposing for the Oscars, which I think would be amazing, real-time reaction videos.
Well, speaking of real-time reactions.
Yes.
Here's an idea that at that stupid Twitter Awards thing we went to 12
oh.
years ago, they did,
yep.
and it was
yep.
a disaster.
But fun.
What a great disaster it would be yeah. for the Oscars is a giant screen behind the hosts and people receiving the awards on stage with live tweets and reactions
yeah.
to everything that was happening that we could see.
I remember, Goldie, when we were at those Twitter awards and they had that live screen, it was like, oh my God, they've just rung the dinner bell. And within like 5 minutes, Goldie has a tweet up there on screen that's like, I already hate this. Like it was, the floodgates were open.
I was responsible
so
for them unplugging the
yes.
live feed.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah, this is yep. terrible. This is a disaster.
I can't remember.
I think I tweeted, I am not having a good time.
Yes. It was something so simple and scathing that just absolutely derailed people in a hilarious way. So I love the live tweeting idea. Love it.
Okay.
Back to the in memoriam, and you mentioned this for people, an in memoriam for people who are not dead, but were just canceled in the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a very long list, I feel like.
I know. It's true.
I also think that, and this could be like a real or this could be a category, but, you know, Nepo babies are in the news.
Yes, you love that word.
Nepo babies are in the news. Everyone's talking about Nepo babies, but Nepo babies should be in their own category.
So it'd be like best
you know, if you're nominated and it's like, you know, you're Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't go against the person who scrapped their way into this.
Yeah.
No way. You get in the Nepo baby category.
Drew Barrymore.
Minnesota. Yeah, and that could be its own in memoriam reel, too. It's like, okay, it's sad you died, but also, like, come on, you were just basically ushered into this in a way that was so tilted in your favor.
Totally. I mean, and in fact, and I'm sure they don't do it now just because of this, but it's like an Oscar tradition to have, like, some kind of attractive Nepo baby just hovering on stage, like presenting awards. Yeah. And it's like, hey, here's Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn's oldest daughter. And it's like, all right, you're gonna make it. You'll be fine.
Yes.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So now I just want to get into a few awards categories that I think there should be.
Love it.
Okay.
Shortest movie.
Yes.
Not movie short, but
there's nothing better than when you see TRT, total runtime, an hour 26.
Yes. Oh, it's like 80s comedies. They knew.
Yeah. Yes. Why no one does this anymore? Why no one? It's like, there are certain things in life, more isn't better, right?
Like,
and
this
I
podcast.
Feel like steakhouses make this mistake. They go, oh, like a 28-ounce steak.
Right.
Well, like, no one ever feels good and is happy after eating a 28-ounce steak. It's a disaster.
Yeah, it's but like a week-ruining event.
Yeah, you eat like, eight-ounce steak.
Perfect.
That was great.
Perfect. Leave a couple bites on the plate.
All you can eat sushi. Well, sushi isn't an endurance contest. It's meant to be enjoyed. Like, by the same token, these movies, you just go, every movie's like, total runtime, 2 hours, 50 minutes.
Yeah, that's a real turnoff. Yep.
So just reward them for getting you out of there.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So another category, and this is, you know, the things that win every year tend to fall into a certain sort of, they're not enjoyable. Like, no one goes, can't wait to sit down and watch Coda. That's not saying it's not a good movie or, you know, Moonlight. It's like, I mean, you go, it's important and it's all these things.
Yep.
but tar, but you just go,
no, tar's good.
But I'm sure it's good, but you to work yourself up to watching it, you're never in the mood for Tar.
I'm in the mood for
you
Tar.
Know, and it's not going to improve your relationship to go, hey, honey, let's watch Tar together tonight. You're not going to be like, that was a great night. Let's have sex because we watched Tar. You know, it's so anyway, the category. And they've been dancing around this for years by saying, like, do we put Batman and Avatar in a separate category? Do we? They've been dancing around this. The category for these movies is called Best Slog.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. I love that. There's so many Best Slog nominees.
We own it.
I know.
That's like that, great. Like the Turing Game. I loved that movie.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I loved it.
Yes. Yes.
Slog.
Agreed.
Total slog. Yep. Yeah, there's so many slogs. If you looked at the nominees.
I Am Sam.
Slog.
Slog. Slog.
Yeah. Oh, God. Slog Jam. Yeah. We haven't mentioned yet Top Gun, which I still think, if I'm being honest, was the most enjoyable movie.
Yes. And is it going to win
nominated?
Anything?
Yes. It is nominated for Best Picture, but it won't win. Goldie's right. It'll win you know, best sound editing, best, special effects, but they're not going to give it best picture, but they should because it single-handedly saved the movie business.
Oh, wow.
The theatrical movie business.
Well, we all know that and Avatar, and I hope I'm not missing something, were really the movies of the year.
Yes.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, before. No, you're missing nothing. Those are the two. Okay.
I mean, really, if you talk to most people, you go, what was your favorite movie this year? They're going to say Top Gun or Avatar. Like most, like a majority. So to not recognize those, it's like, well, those aren't, Avatar may be a slog. I haven't seen it yet. But Top Gun is not a slog.
No, right. It's fun. And it's great. So thank you,
I thought you were
going to
say comedy. But
there are no comedies anymore.
Oh. So.
Yeah, it can't be funny. It can't be funny
anymore. So, okay. So this is another category maybe, but it's also just something to focus on and exploit during the ceremony. So there's nothing more interesting than when the people who worked on a movie now hate each other.
Yes.
Like this Olivia Wilde thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever went on with Harry Styles and Chris Pratt or Chris Pine?
Pine.
Okay. Chris Pine, Harry Styles, Olivia Wilde, the actress, something happened.
Yeah.
This needs to be rewarded.
Best scandal.
And encouraged.
Because it was actually interesting.
It's because it's fun to watch them together. It's fun to, when they have to talk about each other.
Yeah.
Totally.
So you either give them a category or you just say, like, tonight we've seated all the people who hate each other together. And you just have someone go down with a microphone and just say, so tell us, how was it working together? Hey, what happened? Are you guys still dating? Or
love that.
Like, what part when did you start dating during the filming?
Yes.
Like, when did you realize as you were filming that they were dating? And how did you feel about that?
Yeah. Yeah. And you just read them quotes back from the other people. Ooh. You know, Olivia said this on the record. How do you feel about that?
So they just freaked out. That when you brought that salad dressing to Harry Styles' house?
Nice that you know
what's
that.
The recipe? We're going to post the recipe right now for you to have the Jason Sudeikis laying down in front of a car salad dressing.
And what kind of car was it? It's the Toyota Avalon. That's a great category.
Yeah,
great category.
So just these things should be dominant in this era.
And I had one to throw in there, which I think, honestly, is a no-brainer to engage a part of the country that feels that hates the Oscars and hates awards ceremony. I think there should be a best picture for Republicans.
Ooh.
Like, I think that there should just be like five movies, you know, and it would all be like with Kevin Costner and we could throw Top Gun in there.
Yeah.
And like, I think you put together six pictures that Republicans like and vote on that too. I think it's like a way to say, hey, we want to include you in this.
Well,
and
hearing that, do we do it like we do the presidential election? We do the best picture primaries.
Oh,
where it's a ballot measure.
Oh, wow.
When you go to vote every year, it's just on the ballot.
Yes.
Yes, I love that. And you can have like most gay picture square off against best Republican picture.
Right. Like, and then the live ceremony is like revealing the election results.
I love that. I love that.
Wow. Yeah.
See, we're solving we're a really lot of
because
problems
now people
here.
Have stake in the game if they voted.
Yeah.
If they yes. express their opinion. But I guess part of the problem now is there's no, you know, like at most your opinion is so tepid where you go, you know, if Tar wins over everything everywhere all at once, I'm going to flip the fuck out. Like no one goes in feeling that way. Yeah. Because
stop
they
picking on Tar.
I'm sure Tar is good. I'm sure.
It is
I
good.
Like Cate Blanchett.
Yeah, me too. She's amazing.
And
she's
I do,
amazing.
I have a thing,
yeah.
like an alternative way to run the Oscars.
Yes.
Because I feel like a lot of people say, well, who's voting for these, you know, why isn't there representation, mm-hmm. you know? So what if we took away all of the, you know, at home or whatever voting, and whoever attends the Oscars, when they get there, they walk the red carpet, and before they walk in, they vote.
Oh. Mm.
And then you know whoever's in that building, those are the people who voted because they were invited. And then there's no question about who's represented.
Right.
And it's a little bit like nobody will know until later. You know, they'd have to do some pretty fast calculations.
But why shouldn't they know?
Well, no, they'll know.
Oh, I thought you meant no one should know who voted for what.
Oh, no. Sorry. The winner, sorry, is what I meant. But they won't know the winner until everything's been calculated, till the end. I don't know what they would do in between, but I feel like this sort of American Idol, but, you know, self-contained.
Well, they do
version.
All the stuff we just listed. They yeah. do the rivalries yeah. and all that as you're being, and the slapping and the yes, reanimating yes. of corpses,
the,
all that.
The entertainment yeah. part.
The
corpses,
yes. Just lump those things together, all easy.
But that's, I think that's great. And then when they introduce that stupid Price Cooper Waterhouse fuck yes. up they do every year, you go, well, I get it. They're actually doing something.
They're doing
here.
Something.
And I want to throw in two spicy categories here that I think Ooh. might really kind of ratchet things up a notch. Best dick and most tits. Okay. I think both those categories, you're interested. And every year they're it's happening less and less. I guess, thankfully, but there was really a trend over the last decade of like, we're going to show male dick. Mm-hmm. Here, there's male dick in this movie. And it's like, we all got acquainted with like Fassbender's dick, you know? And right. it's like, hey, best dick for Fassbender. I think if we had best dick, that would be a great category. And,
I'm,
and you know, most hits is my 80s roots.
Totally.
Who would volunteer to present best dick?
Well, that should be a punishment.
Well, that yeah. should be, it's like, you know, from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, Pauly the situation. D. Yeah, and the situation, present best dick. Well, here we are, Pauly. Do you ever think we'd make it here to the Oscars?
Finally in show business.
We've seen a lot of great dicks this year.
We know a thing or two about dicks, okay?
But that's fun.
Again.
Yes.
Yes. Very fun. Yeah.
So this is a recommendation for a specific moment that occurs several times during the ceremony that I think would be interesting when they have the voiceover whisper facts about the person. They go to stage yes. and say, yes. this is their first nomination.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the things they should whisper is to the dollar exactly how much was spent on the publicity campaign to try to get this person that award.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd yes. really get a sense of how Hollywood works yes. and it would be embarrassing.
Yes.
And they, so $14 million was spent to try to get Cate Blanchett nominated for Tar.
Stop picking on Tar. They could have spent $0 if she would have been nominated.
Mired in Tar.
Stuck on Tar. I love that idea. And of course, the Golden Globes have been famous for that for years, like where it's all just like a lobbying contest
right.
and it's a money thing. But I think bringing that to the Oscars' attention and to the people's attention would be incredibly interesting. Love that yeah. idea too. I love all these ideas.
Yes.
So this would only work this year because it's a trend now and it won't be. But you have Mikey Day come out,
yes.
and one of the Oscars is cake.
What?
From the show Is It Cake?
Yeah.
Oh, I
on Netflix, Mikey yes. Day, the host. He comes out And he and someone's Oscar is unfortunately
right.
is cake.
They're
it's
like,
not
oh,
a real
no.
Oscar. Oh, sorry.
They never get a real one. You're right. stuck with
no,
the cake.
You got cake.
Right.
Put
and
that
when they
put
see
that
Mikey.
Oscar in the freezer, like that slice of wedding cake. Also, again, you're on the Oscars. Just be Mike.
I know you
Don't
hate that.
Don't be Mikey. You're an adult. It's Mike or Michael
He's so
Day.
So not a Mike, though. He's very Mikey.
M. Okay. David Day.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, M. D.
And
Day.
William Smith present.
But those are, that. I mean, those are really my thoughts to this point.
I love it. We could make this
too.
So much more
oh,
exciting.
So fun.
I know one last thing. Yeah. This is, again, a big conceptual thing. And it goes... Again, this is my own personal prejudice. Film acting is so easy because you only have to act for 10 to 20 seconds at a time over and over. The yeah. real yeah, and craft in acting are people who are in the theater when for hours, night after night, day after day, you have to embody this character, bring them to life, hit specific marks, hit your lines all the time.
Yep.
Conjure a performance to the same level to please the audience and, right. and to work with other people doing the same thing and a crew of people doing the same thing and make it come alive. That's legitimate craft. That's amazing. Here's what's not amazing. Action. Someone's dressed you up and everything, made you up, told you where to stand, told you what to hold, told you what to do. And just getting one angle of you doing like three lines and going, I don't know, Jim. Is it true? Cut.
I want to be an action
that's
movie.
That's nothing. That's nothing. And you see this, if you're, quote, lucky enough to be in this industry, you will go to table reads over the course of your career and you will see big stars at a table read who can barely fucking read,
oh,
who
yeah.
have no instincts
nope.
for what to do with text,
yeah.
who can't work with lines, who don't understand human emotion, who are coddled babies, who for just some reason, when you point a camera at them, their face looks nice
right.
yep.
because their features are disproportionately it. Big. Yep. And so they've lucked into a career where they think they're acting and they're not.
Yes. yes.
So you take these people
ooh.
And you Poseidon adventure the ceremony. You say there are no handlers. There are no makeup. There's whatever. The theater is exploding. You're an action star? Show us what you really do in a real disaster. When you really need to save a life. When you really need to conjure some words that are a call to arms to everyone to get up their ass and follow you.
Sound the alarm.
Be ooh, the thing. That's the last
I love that. I love that. And you're so right. Like, movie acting is just whose face do you want to look at? That's yep. what it is. And like, we want to look at Tom Cruise's face. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and he happens to have some talent behind it, but that's what started it. And that's what will always make him.
Yeah.
Like,
but to say best actor in the face of go to a actual performance of a play and then like, could that person even be the third lead?
Right. Yeah.
Without totally fucking up? No.
Right.
Never. Never.
Well, I would. I think we should be put into an action movie. If it's that easy, I would volunteer to be in an action movie because I think that would be fun.
You could do it.
You could.
No, absolutely. You have modeling experience.
Yeah.
You know how to talk.
Come on.
You look good. You take care of yourself. You could do it.
There you go. Oh,
that's very nice. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go do it.
Yeah, good. Awesome.
Yeah.
JC is everywhere, everything, all at once. Those
I'm
are great.
Nowhere, nothing, never.
Never.
At any time. That's my career.
That's a great wrap to that category. Great
that
suggestion,
awesome.
Goldie. Very fun. They
really
should
fun.
Listen to us.
Yes.
Which, of course, nobody is, and not Matt Rice, who could actually get the word out there. But let's get into a portion of the show that we like to call Top 5.
Top 5.
Oh, beautiful. Goldie, this was your category this week. Tell us what we're top 5-ing about.
So these were sort of things, people, experiences that totally blew you away the first time you experienced, saw, heard, learned about them.
Love it. Love it. Go ahead. You're first.
All right. Number 5, Van Halen's Unchained.
Oh
so awesome.
I'm so glad you went to music because I had a couple. Yes.
What was that? when you heard it and you go, there's something inside me that wants to like break some stuff. I don't know why.
I love that. Great answer.
Number four, sushi.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
First time I had sushi was like, wait, you don't cook it.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah.
And then the wasabi, it was great. Like sensory overload.
I was with Stu the first time he had sushi, and he had the same moment. He was like, wow, what is going on?
It's so good.
Number three, the first time in an automobile, you pushed the pedal all the way down and floored it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That seems tied into the Van Halen to me.
Totally. Yeah.
Just foot went down. It was a 1981 Ford Escort.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Oh, push it to the limit.
Couldn't do anything. But the first time you said to yourself, I'm a grown up now.
Yeah.
They can't stop me. I've been in the back seat. Everyone's been driving too slow my entire life.
And here we go.
I'm going to floor it.
Time to make up for lost time.
Number two, surfing.
Oh, nice. Yeah. The first time.
That's a youth first thing. Time you just catch any kind of wave and ride it in, whether it's boogie boarding, surfing.
Yeah.
You body just ride surfing. A wave and you're not in control, but you're enjoying it.
Yes.
And the number one experience is when another human being for the first time voluntarily shows you their naked body.
Yeah, we have mild overlap there. Voluntarily, as opposed to the other times.
Well, as opposed to like all the porky stuff where you're looking through a hole in the wall or there's a porno in the woods or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone of their own volition decides, you know what?
You get to see it.
I'm going to just let this person see my naked body.
Oh, God. Love that one.
Those are great.
All right, JC, what do you got?
Okay, well, again, I overthought this. It's just my MO.
Shocker.
Yeah, big shocker. So, but we kind of have a similar overlap. My number five was the first time driving the now unpopular Tesla.
No.
The first time, I was so against it. Stu was like, let's just go on a test drive. Went in on a Tesla drive, and it was mind-blowing. My number two is the reason why I do what
I do.
Your
number four.
My number four.
We're all the way back to the show's roots.
Number two. Number four is the first time I understood or heard like spatial awareness in music, like that I heard stereo. I was 10. I remember it vividly.
Wow.
I was listening in headphones. I went and I was like, what's happening? I hid in the closet underneath the stairs, turned off the lights, and was like, I felt like I had discovered something that
what
nobody
was the
knew.
Song?
It was Steely Dan.
Oh, good.
Ooh. Yeah. It was like I was listening to my parents. I don't remember. It was Donald Fagen.
Yeah, the Nightfly.
Yeah, Nightfly.
Yeah.
It was probably that song too, because I listened to that album. I love that album.
Is it 10-year-old?
Yeah,
it's a great album.
That's amazing.
Well,
it's a great album.
my parents were very into Steely Dan and Donald Fagen. But
I remember Heartbreaker, Led Zeppelin's Heartbreaker. Bam, bam.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Ban-up, totally.
Bam. Banana. Like that was amazing.
Totally.
I thought something was wrong with my headphones the first time that happened because I was like, it's only coming out of one side.
By the way, I fucked that up. That song was What Is and What Should Never Be.
Okay.
That was doing that.
Thank you for correcting that.
Yeah.
So the number.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Number three, I guess I misunderstood the first time, but I was going to say the thing that blew my mind was I was, 20 feet from Dave Chappelle during the monologue when Trump was elected.
Yeah.
And that experience, because I had seen it at dress rehearsal and it was funny, but the air version, he interacted with Bradley Cooper, whatever. That was completely improvised because he didn't have that written in the air part. He was just, they were laughing with each other. So for me, that was like, the first time at SNL where I was like, oh my God, I'm here. This is...
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that was for that. I'm at two now, right? Number two.
Yep.
The first time I saw Michael Jackson perform the Motown 25 Yesterday and Forever.
Oh, the moonwalk.
The moonwalk. Yep. We were recording it. I watched it hundreds and hundreds of times after
so
that.
So great.
So great. Yeah, that blew my mind. And then again, it's going back to this. My number three was, like, I had gotten many job offers before, but when I got the job offer at SNL, that was the first time I'd been like, okay, my mind is blown. That was my number one.
Oh, that's great.
Great list.
Thank you.
Jump into mine. Number five for me, college.
Ooh.
College was just because I went to a prep school. There were a lot of rules. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. College was just absolutely like, it was like I had been high altitude training for a marathon and now could just run, you know, 100 miles. It was awesome. Number four, Pink Floyd.
Oh, the first time I heard it.
You talk about dynamic stereo experience. Listening to Pink Floyd when I first started at like 14, I just could not get enough of it. I was so into every little sound that they put in their headphones.
It's dark.
That side of the moon is dark.
I mean, yeah, I remember hearing like, we don't need no education and going, yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I don't.
I know everything.
Right.
I know more than you.
These guys get me. Number three, we talked about it in a punish form earlier. Masturbation.
Punish for
masturbation.
Mastication.
I mean, because, you know, sex was just the well-cooked steak to masturbation's McDonald's hamburger.
Right. So. I guess
I'm going to bring up something we may end up cutting out.
Okay,
good. Do it.
Is it masturbation the first time anything came out? Because that for me was like, wait a second.
Yes, there was a difference. There was a difference.
Yeah.
At first, it was like the gun that just has the bang flag.
Yeah.
But then there was actually something. No, for me, it was the first time.
Because I never had a wet dream. Like, I don't want to, we may end up cutting this. I had been told, like, you know, young man may have a wet dream or nocturnal emission.
I've never had one either.
And so when it came out, I was like, you know, first I'm like, this is an enormous remediation problem. Like, this is a janitorial issue. I am going to have to use all my wiles to take care of. Like, I'm now in an undercover operation that I wasn't anticipating 4 seconds ago.
Yep.
But then it's like, wait, does this happen every time now? Or what's the deal?
I have to check.
Yeah, those are two quite different experiences. But I'm just going to go with the dry run.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's call it.
A nice dry rub.
Yeah. This is the steak theme tonight. Okay, and number two for me, more music, The Grateful Dead. We talked about it last week. I was so, like, kind of scared of what their music would be because of all the skeletons and everything. And then I put them on, and it was absolutely wonderful, and I've never stopped loving it.
Wow.
Number one, Manhattan. The first time I ever went to New York City, Manhattan, it was an unbelievable experience. It was everything I had imagined and more,
and I
just absolutely fell in love with it. I still think it's the greatest city in the world. I think I went to see Annie on Broadway with my mom.
Do you think Kim was in it then?
What's that? Oh, I don't know. She might have been. Our Kim Furtman, who works with us now, was in Annie. She may have been in it.
Did your mom have to carry you out?
Oh, I was just wrecked. Absolutely wrecked. But going to see Annie.
Did your mom carry you out of Tar?
Lay off Tar. I don't mind the jokes about me, but enough about Tar. Anyway, Manhattan speaks for itself. I love that. Okay, so let's talk about top five next week. I'm thinking I want to bring it back to a little meat and potatoes. How about top five action movies of the 80s?
Oh, I like it.
There were a lot of them. There were a lot of them. We saw a bunch.
You were going to say top five meats and potatoes. Filet mignon, tater tot.
There we go. Tater tots would be up there. That's also good. So let's do top five action movies of the 80s.
Cool.
And now let's end our show, as we do every week, on a high note. Oh, thank you, Tom and Max. That's beautiful. I'll just quickly say my high note is, and I wasn't even there, but it just looked so lovely. My daughter, Levy, and my wife, Tal, went skiing in Colorado with Levy went with her cousins who didn't know how to ski. They're slightly older. And they all had the best time. The cousins are now skiing like experts. Awesome. They're great athletes. Levy has gotten so good. She's skiing black diamonds now. She's far better than I am at skiing.
That's awesome.
It was just awesome to hear about, to see, to get the videos. So I was so happy for her, so happy for Tall, because they had just an awesome time. So that was my high note.
That's nice. My high note, I went to a wedding this weekend for Adrian and Omar. And met some really nice people. It wasn't like the ceremony, it was the party, so that's why it was so good.
You know, there's a girl named Omar.
It's actually two men.
Oh. Oh my god, that would break your mom's brain.
It would, yes. But yeah, it was beautiful. No ceremony, which is great because usually those are the longest part of a wedding.
Oh. And no ceremony. That's awesome.
Yeah, they had the ceremony and this was just the celebration. So it was great. Yeah.
Great.
It was
awesome.
Wonderful time.
Congratulations, Adrian and Omar.
Yes.
So nothing makes me happier than pictures and little videos of pugs.
Oh, yes.
And we are living in the golden age.
Absolutely.
If you like something and you sort of need little microdoses of it to get through your day, you can find it in abundance.
Microdose.
And my wife and I all day just send each other fun little pug videos.
Love it.
And awesome. I never fail to get endorphins off it.
It's amazing.
And I'm just very glad. It's the one good use of this technology. I'm just very glad that people continue to post adorable things.
Yeah. Oh,
and
I love
will.
That. I know.
Love that. Pug love videos. That. Can't get enough.
Yes.
I'll send you one too, by the way. I've latched
like
onto them. This pug who's like 14 or 15.
Oh, you like
and
them
old. This woman does a video every week like, things my 14-year-old pug was mad about this week.
Oh, that's cute. Like,
it's so funny. I'll send you those.
The one I enjoyed yesterday was, it was a pug and he was looking, you know, up kind of quizzically. And the caption was, Mom breaks all my treats in half, and then I have to watch her eat a whole box of Girl Scout cookies.
Yep. Those are great. Great.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, that was fun. We
that
fixed
fun.
The Oscars.
Yes.
Yep.
We figured out what's wrong with LA.
Let's sit by the phone. I'm expecting a call after this gets out there that they're going to bring us in.
I mean, would you guys do a live feed if we could figure out a way to get you to do commentary during the Oscars?
Yes. It's next week.
Year.
Okay.
Next year. I'm watching it with my family this year.
Okay. You're all
we're having
up
a party. I can't do it.
Oh, I love it. Oh, yeah. You guys. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Making pizza. The whole block's coming.
Ooh, block
body. Block. Yes.
All right. Well, yes. Put that on your calendars for next year when we've got Tar 2, more women whispering. This was a fun show today. I really enjoyed it. I loved no guests, Goldie. No guests.
Yes.
We got to remember what it's about. Us three.
Yes.
That's right. That's
not
it.
Not outsiders.
Us three.
Although we
against
do have a guest
the world.
Next week.
We do. Vanessa Ramos. I mentioned that earlier.
Looking
we're
expect hostility, Vanessa.
Just from Goldie. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Thank you two for being awesome.
Thank
and
you.
We will talk to you again next week.
Yeah, right.
That was fun.
And it stops right now.
It's like I'm Don Bembezzlement.